We're holding on your tests on the days, the third line. Said in the Mishnah, we said that if a person tovels for cholin and has in mind that he's going to be eating, that he's going to be eating cholin, so then we said, nevertheless, his clothes are still considered trumas midras relative to those who are going to be eating, so let's see. So what we said was, Atova l'cholin v'huchzak l'cholin. Yeah, so also the ma'aser. So we said he also to eat ma'aser shame, unless he tovel. This is one of the ma'aser did abanan. Midaraisa, of course, he tovel, be tovel. That's that. But midarabanan, you have to have kavana for the level of, kedusha that you're going to be eating. So the Gemara says, mani masnissin. Well, who does our Mishnah go like if we're saying that? That there's a distinction between cholin and ma'aser. Rabbanan, evidently that must be according to the Chachamim, the Shani Lahu ben cholin and ma'aser, where they draw that distinction. We learned yesterday that there was we quoted yesterday a Mishnah that said kol aton bias mayim midivrei sofrim, that anybody who needs to tovel in a mikveh midrabbanan, which is what we're dealing with over here. So, because we're not talking about a person who's actually Tomei, we're talking about a person who's Tomei Daraisa, we're talking about a person who was Tomei Drabonon, for example, by eating or drinking food that was Tomei, or various other things. So we said that Reb Meir had said he's allowed to eat Chulin and Maisa Sheni, without Tobeling, and the Chachamim had said that no, he's a Chulin sure, but not Maisa. The Chachamim are the one who are making that distinction, so that part of our Mishnah would be going like them. The problem with that is Amos Sefer, but let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. It continued, Big Day Amaoretz Midras LaPrushin, Big Day Prushin Midras LaOichle Truma, that we said the clothes of an Amaoretz who were concerned that the Amaoretz, clothes may have been sat on or stepped on by his wife when she was in Nidya. So therefore, they are considered midras. They're considered tumas midras relative to prushin. Prushin being the ones who are careful to stay tahor. Big day prushin midras la'ichle truma, and in turn, their clothes are midras relative to those who are eating truma. Now we left out ma'aser. Asan Rav Meir. So that part seems to go like Rav Meir. D'amar cholin and ma'aser kadari ninu. Who says that cholin and ma'aser for this purpose are on the same level? So Reisha Rabbanan the Sefer the Meir. So does that mean that we have a Mishnah where the first line of it is according to the Chachamim and the next line is according to the Meir? And the Gemara says, hey, yeah, Reisha Rabbanan the Sefer the Meir. Yeah, it could be like that. We could say that the first line of our Mishnah is like the Chachamim, and the second part where it doesn't distinguish Meiser from the previous ones is like the Meir. On the other hand, Rav Acha, by the way, Tosfos, the long Tosfos over here, Big Day Amaoretz, discusses, we touched on it briefly yesterday, the question, we're saying that the clothes of the Amaoretz are Tumas Midras because his wife may have sat on them when they were in Nidya. Tosfos discusses the possibility, maybe sometimes, in fact, we say that the Amaoretz himself is Mitame Midras, by being a Zov or whatever. However, Tosfos says that we don't always do that, for example, we're going to have later on in the Gemara, we're going to have a case where a person has barrels full of food that needs to stay tahor, and he hires workers to move them. If we're going to say that an Amaoretz is actually Matamim Midras on his own, that we say that he himself is considered like a Zog, it's going to be very hard to find workers to be able to move your barrels for you, so therefore the Chachamim didn't impose it to that extent. But to say that his clothes are Tomei Trumas Midras, that they could do. Namely, again, because his wife may have sat on them or whatever. Anyway, Rav Acha ba'Ada masking of the Sefer Chomesh Malis. Now, in the Mishnah, in the Sefer of our Mishnah, we have four Milas. The way we have it in front of us, we have four Milas. We have Big Day Amaoretz. Okay, Amaoretz is not considered for this purpose one of the Milas. We had Prushin, Oichle Truma, Kodesh, and Chagas. So therefore, that's what we're saying. That part of the Mishnah doesn't seem to go according to the Meir, because according to the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, you should have five. You should have between Chulin and Truma, between Prushim, where that is, between the people who are careful to eat Betara, and between that and Truma, you should have another one. You should have Meiser, according to the Chachamim. Well, the Gemara says Rav Acha Ba'ada Masni Lava Seifa Chomesh Milas. As a matter of fact, Rav Acha Ba'ada's version of the bride, of the Mishnah had 5 milas in the Seifa. He, in fact, had Meiser in his version of the Mishnah. Umuki Lakula Kurabanan. And that way he's able to say that the whole thing goes according to the Chachamim. So, Amar Rav Mari. So now Rav Mari says, since we're mentioning about Chulin, Shma Mina, we see from this, Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh Kikodesh Damu. Now you have, we touched on this yesterday, that you have something called Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, where you have a person's food is Chulin, but he is keeping that food to the standard as if it was Kodesh. Now, why would he do that? Rashi says a practical reason might be, for example, right now he doesn't have kodesh to eat, but let's say he regularly eats kodesh. Let's say, for example, he lives in Yerushalayim and therefore he regularly has korbanos available to eat. Or let's say, for example, he's getting ready for Aliyah LeRegel and he wants to make sure that his family is going to know the rules. So therefore, so he accepts on himself that even as cholin, he's going to eat at the standards of kodeshim. The Meiri gives another possibility. Let's say, for example, he's a winemaker or an oil maker, and he wants to be able to sell his wine or his oil or his flour or whatever to Hekdesh to be able to use for korbanos. So then obviously he needs to keep them to those standards. Anyway, so such cholin, says Rav Mari, we see from this Mishnah, to kodesh damu, evidently they are considered like the din of kodshin, which would mean, for example, it would mean that the rules that we set in our Mishnah that apply to Kodshim would have to apply to those as well. So we said, for example, that if a person wants to eat such food, if a person wants to eat food of Kodesh, we said it's not enough for him to wash his hands. He has to dip his hands in a mikveh. So that would be an example of that. Another example would be about this matter of clothes of people who have tovled and made themselves tahor for lower levels. We're going to learn also in the next perek, we're going to learn a whole bunch of milas that apply to Kodesh over Truma. So Rav Mari is saying, evidently, it means this cholin would have all of those rules. Mimai, and how do we know that? Midaloi katoni bohumaila. Because after all, the Mishnah didn't mention that as another level. It didn't say that bigde prushin, meaning people who eat their cholin in a regular state of tara. We didn't say that their clothes are considered midras for those who eat cholin al tara sakodesh. So the fact that it didn't mention that shows that such food is actually considered kodesh, and therefore, so we mentioned kodesh in the Mishnah, so therefore there's no reason to list it out separately. In other words, so you can have, for example, you can have a parush, the prushim, by the way, I mean, most of the time you have, in general in Shas, when it uses the word prushim, it comes the word in English, Pharisees, usually it means that the people who are careful in Tum of Atara. Most of the time in Shas, when he uses that term, prushim, a lot of times it's something that the tzedukim are calling the chachamim that. Because they meant it as kind of a derogatory term, like you're very standoffish, parish, literally means separated, you're standing apart from us, you're separating yourselves from us, you're being antisocial, whatever. In some places, like over here, we're using it as a positive term, or at least as a neutral term, to say, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're keeping themselves away from the Amei Ha'aretz, because most of the time the Amei Ha'aretz are b'chazkas tuma, and therefore they have to keep a certain distance from them. In the next parak, we're going to talk about, Be'ez Hashem, about how during the Yomim Tovim, we have less concern about that. During the Sholosh Adolim, the Chachamim relaxed some of these rules, and we consider, to a large extent, we consider the Amei Ha'aretz to be Tahar as well. And after all, there is a din that a person has to make themselves Tahar on Yom Tov, so we assume that the Amei Ha'aretz did that as well. Given that all of this problem that we're considering them Tamei is only Misafik, so we don't impose that Safik during Yom Tov. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the Masechta. Most of the time, by the way, the Gemara, when it wants to talk about that group of people, usually it calls them Chaverim, which is a more positive term. Because chaverim literally means friends, so it means the ones, it means the Tumat Chachamim, and the people who are careful with Tumat Atara, who are able to be friendly, and they're able to interact with each other on a close level. They're able to touch each other, they're able to be around each other without worrying that they're going to touch each other's clothes or whatever, because they all are b'chazkas Tara. So we're going to have examples further down. We're going to have an example further down on the Amud, for example, where we use the word chaver for that. So strictly speaking, the difference is that a parush is anybody who's careful with Tumah V'Tahara, and a chaver is specifically a Talmid Chacham, but in practice, the Gemara often uses chaver in a looser sense to mean in general the Purushim, because the fact is, Tumah V'Tahara is pretty complicated. Most anybody who's going to be careful with these dinim is going to be a Talmid Chacham. Anyway. So the fact is, the Mishnah had not said, so now you have regular Purushim who are Oichle Chulehen B'Tahara, so they eat their Chulin food at the standards of Tahara of Chulin, meaning, for example, that they're not worried about anything beyond a Sheni L'Tumah, because food of Chulin can't become anything further than a Sheni anyhow. So they would have, let's say, no problem with somebody who is a Tevul Yoim, who's considered a Sheni L'Tumah, touching their food. And then you have, now, the Mishnah did not say that their clothes are considered Tumas Nidras relative to those who eat Chulin al-Taras HaKodesh, where they keep their Chulin to a higher standard where they have to be concerned all the way down to Revi, just like Kodshim. So the fact that it didn't mention that shows why not, because those Chulin are in fact considered Kodesh. So since the Mishnah already mentioned Kodesh, and we said that even people who eat Truma, that their clothes are Midras like Kodesh, then there's no reason to list it out separately. But the Gemara says that's not really a proof. The Dilma Haid like Katani Bahu Maila, maybe the reason why it doesn't mention Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh is because however you look at it, it doesn't need to. The E Domu Truma, if you're gonna say that they're only similar to Truma, and therefore if we say, in other words, that we could say, Rashi says, that there's really, just because the person says, I want to keep this Chulin Al Taras HaKodesh, doesn't necessarily demonstrate that it actually has the dinim of Kodesh. Maybe we'd say, Batla Daita, it's not normal to keep Chulin to such a high standard, so therefore maybe we would say, that the most they go to is the level of Truma. Or maybe not. Maybe even we would say they only go to the level of Chulin. He wants to keep them. Al Taras HaKodesh. Very nice. But nevertheless, the halacha would still be that they still have the dinim only of regular Chulin food and not of Kodesh. So we could say, maybe the reason why it doesn't mention that as a separate Maila, because the E Domo Latruma, if you're going to say that fine, his saying he wants them to be Al Taras makes them to a higher standard, but only the standard of Truma. Well, Hatzoni Truma. Well, we said Truma in the Mishnah. And we mentioned that as one of the Milas. The Idomu L'Chulin, and if we're going to say it's similar to Chulin, Hatzoni L'Chulin, then we also mentioned Chulin. So not necessarily does that demonstrate that Chulin Shanasu Al-Paras HaKodesh in fact have the status of Kodesh. The Tznan, or the Tanya, really, it's a Braisa. Chulin Shanasu Al-Paras HaKodesh, Harein Kechulin, so we have a machlokes tanoim on that point, whether it's considered like chulin or whether it's considered like truma. But we don't find anybody who says it's like kodesh. So you don't have any proof, at least not from the first part of our Mishnah, that they should have the din of kodesh. Incidentally, by the way, on Alpi Chassidus, this idea of Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, the Alter Rebbe mentions it in a mimer in Torah Ur, in Parshas Lech Lecha, the concept of Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh is mentioned in a few different places in Chassidus. It talks about the idea that, essentially, it's associated sort of with klipas noiga, with the fact that you have chulin, you have the mundane things of this world, and then you have chulin shenasu, al taras hakodesh, the ability to make them into something of kedusha, the ability to make the world, to make the chulin of the world into a place of kedusha. There's one mimer of the Alter Rebbe in Torah Ur, in Parshas Lecha, where he further associates it with something we learned a few days ago when we were learning the whole thing about the Mice and Merkava. It mentioned over there about Chashmal, Chayes Eish Memalolos. We said that the Chayes, the fire that speak. And we said Itim Choshes, Itim Memalolos, that sometimes you have Chash, they're quiet. Sometimes Mal, they speak. And the Alter Rebbe associates it with the idea that sometimes you have Gilui Alakos and sometimes you don't. And that Gilui is associated with this idea of Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, that you're taking the Chulin of the world and transforming it into Kedusha. And then that's associated with Mila and with the idea of Mal, of the Chayes HaKodesh speaking and bringing Alakos into our world. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So we see, so Rav Mari is trying to say that they're Kodesh Domu, but we're saying you don't have a proof from that part of the Mishnah. Elami Sefer. So rather, let's try proving it from the Sefer of the Mishnah. On Mishnah continued, Yosef ben Ezer hayachosit shev kohona. That we said Yosef ben Ezer, the first nasi of the first zug that we learned the other day about the machlokes between him and Yosef and Yochanan and the subsequent generations about Smicha. He was the chosid shev kohona. He was the most careful in mitzvahs of all the kohenim of his time. And yet we said his handkerchief would still be considered midras relative to those who eat kodesh. So Yosef ben Yezer, being a kohen, he would regularly eat truma, but he didn't regularly eat kodshim. He's Yosef ben Yezer ish tzreda. So for Pashas, he lived in tzreda. He would visit Yerushalayim regularly, after he is the nasi of the Sanhedrin, but he wasn't necessarily regularly eating kodshim. So if he prepared himself for eating kodshim, then fine. But by default, his mikpachas, his handkerchief, would be midras lakodesh. And the Mishnah continued, Yochanan ben Gudgadah ha'yoichal al taras ha'kodesh kol yamav. Yochanan ben Gudgadah, who we said was a Levi who lived at the end of the second Mishnah, he used to eat al taras ha'kodesh his whole life. So he did this that we're saying about eating his chulin food at the standards of kodesh. He used to do that. And still, v'hoys mitpachim midras l'chatas. Still, we say that his handkerchief was considered midras relative to those who are working with parah aduma, implying l'chatas ein l'kodesh loy. Now we're saying that it would be midras as far as those who are working with chatas, but not relative to those who are working with kodshim. Alma kasaber, that shows that the Mishnah holds chulin shenasu al taras kodesh to kodesh kamu. So there you go. You have an opinion that says that chulin shenasu al taras kodesh do have the dinim of kodesh, and therefore, since Yochanan ben Gudgadah is keeping himself and his food to a standard of Kodesh, then therefore, in fact, somebody who else who eats Kodesh is allowed to touch his handkerchief and not have a problem. So yes, that proves of Mori's point. So we couldn't have proved it from the Reisha of the Mishnah, but we can prove it instead from the Sefer. New topic, or a related topic about dinim of Truma v'Tara. So now we're going to talk about the idea of Shmira regarding clothes and other objects as far as Truma v'Tara. Obviously, for something to stay Tahar, you have to be guarding it. Otherwise, if nobody's watching it, how do you know that something Tameh didn't fall on it or touch it or what have you? So there's a concept that you have to be guarding it and you can't have Hesach Hadas. So now, from here through the end of the Perek, we're going to be talking about this on Amud Beis, we're going to be talking about this matter of Hesach Hadas. So the Gemara says, Amud of Yonasan ben Elazar, Nofla ma'apartei menu, suppose a person drops his ma'apartei, Rashi translates ma'apartei as sudr. So usually in Shas, sudr means a turban. So it can mean something like that, it can mean something like a scarf, it could be even like a combination scarf and turban, sort of like the kafirs that the Arabs wear nowadays. Whatever the case, it's an item of clothing. So if a person drops that, and he tells his friend, give it to me. Let's say, for example, he's old, he can't bend, so he asks somebody else to pick it up for him and give it to him. And he gave it to him. That ma'apartei, that studer, is considered tameh, even if the other guy was tahor. Now, why should that be? So Rashi gives us a preview of what we're going to have later in the Gemara. Because a person, the Gemara is going to end up saying, a person doesn't really have a shmira, he doesn't really guard so well what somebody else is holding. So therefore, he himself has relaxed his shmira over it for the moment that it's in the other guy's hand. The other person also is not shomer it so much because, good morning, Yaakov, the other guy is not shomer it as much because he thinks to himself, now look, the other guy said, give it to me. He doesn't know if I'm Tomei or Tahar. If he wanted to make sure it's Tahar, he would have asked me first, are you Tahar? Yes, then pick it up for me, please. He didn't. So therefore, it would be Tomei Misafik, basically. Rashi says, L'machmirin v'taris, for those who have to be machmir, as far as taris. So in other words, obviously, if a person is just going about his regular day, and he's just eating chulin, he's not eating truma, or whatever, then we don't have to worry about it, but we're talking about, in other words, with these milas d'rabbanan, we're saying that the clothes, the ma'apartei would now be tomei, because there was hesach hadas on it. And a similar case, Amar of Yonasan ben Amram, Nischaufu like Kalim shall Shabbos, the Kalim shall Choil. If a person mixed up his Shabbos clothes and his weekday clothes, so he intended to pick up his weekday clothes, and instead he picked up his Shabbos clothes, the Lobshan, and he put them on, Nitmu, then also they become Tomim. Now, why would that be? So it sounds like, at least in the previous case, we can understand it well enough, because again, he wasn't Shomer it because it's in the other person's hand, and the other person isn't Shomer it because he figures the other guy didn't even ask if I'm Tahor or not, so obviously he doesn't really care whether it becomes Tomei, so therefore he doesn't really have in mind to keep it in mind. But this with the Kalim Shal Cholim, Kalim Shal Shabbos, it sounds like it's saying that if you have in mind to be Shomer item A, and you're instead Shomer item B, it sounds like it becomes Tomei. We're going to discuss that point later on. Why should that be? Just because, I mean, you intended to be, you're still a Chaver, you're still careful to make sure your clothes don't become Tomei. What's the difference, whether it's your weekday suit or your Shabbos suit? So we'll get back to that point soon. And Omer of Elazar Barb Tzadik, and Elazar Barb Tzadik says, here's a third case. It happened when two women who were both chaveras, so they're both careful in the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, and they both went to the bathhouse and they mixed up their clothes. Each one ended up taking the other one's clothes. Uvam Maisel Lefnei Rav Akiva. So they came to ask Rav Akiva a shayla, the Timon, and Rav Akiva said that the clothes are tummy. So we have to figure out what's going on with all these things. When it comes to that last one, okay, it's sort of similar to the first one in that it's not your clothes. On the other hand, we have to figure out, you didn't know it wasn't your clothes. So we'll get back to that. So Maskipon of Oshia. So Rav Oshia says, I have a contradiction on all this. You're telling me that if a person is guarding one thing, from Tumah, and then by mistake it turns out that it's something else, then we're saying it's Tumah because he didn't have Shmira on it, because he had a Hesach Hadath. But Rav Oshia says, Elamayata, by that logic, Hoshit Yodel Asal Little Paschitin, if a person stuck his hand into a basket intending to take out a loaf of wheat bread, but also the Yodel Paschitin, and instead by mistake he picked up a loaf of barley bread, Hochi Nami de Nitmes. Are you going to say that Tomei because he intended only to guard a loaf of wheat bread against Tumah but not a loaf of barley bread? It doesn't make sense. You're gonna say, maybe it has to be, maybe your intention to be shomer of the thing has to be that you know what the actual object is and not that you mixed it up with something else. Well, Tanya, we learn in a bright time. If a person is guarding a barrel from anything tame touching it, having a chazaka that the content of the barrel is wine, benimtzas shel shemen, and it turns out instead that it's oil, tohor no melatame. Well, then it's tohor and it's not matame. So just because he didn't know that it was oil, he thought that it was wine, doesn't make a difference. By the same token, it shouldn't make a difference wheat bread or barley bread. Well, by the same token, why should it make a difference whether it's my clothes or your clothes in the back, like in the case of the two women over there, or the case of, or whether it's my weekday clothes or my Shabbos clothes, what's the difference? So the Gemara answers back, Velitai Meich, nu, and according to your Svara that you're even asking the question, Ema Sefer Basura Melachol, nu, you left out the last words of the Braisa. It's a Tahora Melatame. It's Tahor in the sense that the content of that barrel is not going to be Matame other barrels, but the Braisa continues, Basura Melachol. You're not allowed to eat, or drink in this case, the contents of the barrel. So you'd have to ask yourself why. Why should the fact that he thought it was wine and it turns out to be oil, why should that make a difference? And the answer is Omer of Yumia. So now the answer is that. So the Gemara answers Omer of Yumia. Rav Yumia says no. You don't necessarily have a proof from that end of the Braisa that you're saying that because he thought that it was wine and it turned out to be oil, you're saying asura melechol. So you're going to say that proves the dinim that we said before, that if you didn't know what the thing was, if you thought these were your clothes and it turned out to be somebody else's, or you thought they were your weekday clothes and it turns out to be your Shabbos clothes, and you're going to say that proves that they're not, that proves they become tameh. Rabbi Yemiya says that's not a proof. Because, ba'omer, you could have a case where the person is guarding the barrel, and afterwards he says, Shmartia midava amatama, v'loy midava aposla. I was careful to guard the barrel against something that would make it tome, but not something that would make it posel. Meaning, because we talked about yesterday, there's tome and there's posel. So, for example, with kodshim, let's say, kodshim, we say you can go all the way to reveal the tumah. So when you get to, so with everything down to and including shlishi latumah is called, if food of kodshim becomes that, is called tome in the sense that it can be matame other food. But if it becomes a revi, then it's only called posel because it itself cannot be matame anything else because it's the lowest level of tumah that would apply to kodshim or to anything for that matter. So therefore we call it posel rather than tome. Now the fact remains, revi v'kodshim, you're not allowed to eat either. So therefore, so you could have, the person is saying, when I was watching this barrel, I knew to watch to make sure that a sheni latruma or higher, let's say we're talking about, let's say for example here, let's keep things simple, let's say we're talking about a barrel of wine or oil of truma. So therefore, rather than kodshim, therefore let's say it's truma, and therefore so it goes down only to shlishi. So he's saying, I made sure that no abba truma touches it, I made sure no rishon latruma touches it, but I didn't necessarily make sure that no sheni latrumah touches it. A tzvu yoyim, for example, somebody who dipped in the mikveh but hasn't yet had erev shemesh, is a sheni latrumah. So he's saying, so the case is that he's saying that I made sure that nothing tome will, that nothing of higher level of tumah will touch it. I wasn't careful about the lower levels. So therefore, so that would be why we're saying you can't drink the contents because the contents now might be a shlishi latrumah. But on the other hand, it's not matame others, because even if it is a shlishi l'truma, fine, it's not going to be, it's for sure not a sheni l'truma or higher, because he's saying I was careful about that, so therefore it can't be matame other food. That doesn't necessarily show. Now if we were to say that, a person who guards item A, if it turns out that it's item B, that its shmira didn't work at all, then we wouldn't even say that. Then we would say that your shmira doesn't count for anything, and maybe even something that's matame touched it. Since we're not saying that, since we're saying it's not matame, and we're just saying it's also to eat, that shows, in other words, that a person could be saying that I guarded it only halfway. I was only guarding it in its higher level of tumah, but not lower level. We don't yet have a proof for the dinim that we said before, that just because you didn't know what the item was, you thought it was wine and it turned out to be oil, you thought it was your Shabbos clothes and it turned out to be your weekday clothes, etc. That should make a difference. We haven't yet proved that point. So the Gemara asked, "Mi'ikan Chirusal Apauga? Is there such a thing that a person can say I guarded it against one thing and not another? Isn't it? He's guarding it. He's watching it. How do you distinguish like that?" And the answer is, "Ain." As a matter of fact, yes. V'ha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa, an example of that. Hoshit yode basal. Suppose a person stuck his hand into a basket. Basal ok sefer. The basket is on his shoulder. So you don't really necessarily need to have him sticking his hand into the basket for the din to apply over here. But okay, the point is that he has a basket on his shoulder. Ba'magrefa b'seich hasal. Inside the basket there is a magrefa. So the basket itself, Rashi says, is full of figs. Inside the basket, he also has a magrefa, which is a metal keli. Rashi says it has two purposes. Number one, you use it as a poker when you're raking out the ashes from a stove. You use this magrefa. In the pasuk, for example, you have the kelim of the mizbeach hachitzon. And you have, among other things, you have shovels and you have forks and whatever. So this is something like that. They use it for one thing, to rake out or shovel out ashes from a stove. Also, Rashi describes what's it doing in a basket of figs is because you also use it when figs get stuck together. You use it to break them apart. So he has this basket on his shoulder. In it are figs plus a magrefa. Suppose that he's having in mind to make sure that the basket and the figs inside it don't become tame, but he's not paying attention to the magrefa. Well then, hasal tohor v'magrefa tmeya. So then the basket remain and the contents of it remain tohor, but the magrefa, the poker over here, is tame, is suffic because he wasn't paying attention to it, and so therefore something might have touched it and made it tame.
Tosfos actually asks in that case. I mean, what's the scenario over here? If we're talking about that, a rishon or a sheni, any blood or tumah touches it, it wouldn't make it tumah anyway. A basic concept in Hilchos Tumah Vatara is that kalim can become tumah only from an ava tumah or an avyavosa tumah, but not from a vlad. So what's the scenario over here? And if we're talking about that the magrefa, if we're talking about that there's a concern that the magrefa touched an ava tumah, well then it's going to be matame, the food that's touching it. It's going to be matame, all the figs in the basket. So what exactly are we talking about where we say that the magrefa would be tame and the contents of the basket would remain tahor? And so he answers, so Tosfos answers that we're talking about, let's say there's a concern that mashkin tmein, that liquid that are tame might have touched that magrefa. Now, on a daraisa level, there's no such thing because, again, most liquids can only be a vlad atuma and they can't be matame kalim. Midrabanan, we say that mashkin tmeim are considered, are able to be matame kalim. They make the keli tame, and therefore, so now the keli itself can be tame without being matame the food around it. So they're only poislin. They make the keli the lowest level of tumah that would apply to this particular kind of food. So for example, let's say the figs in the basket are chulin, so the magrefa becomes a sheni. Doesn't matter. Food of chulin can't go beyond sheni anyway. So that would be the case. So you see, in other words, that you can have, even though you have a basket with a magrefa inside, it's still quite possible for the person to be having in mind the basket and the contents of it, but not the magrefa. And indeed, we say the magrefa is tome because he had hesach hadas on it. So you see, it's possible to be doing a shmira like that only part way and have a hesach hadas on something else. So by the same logic, you can have, well, so actually, we haven't finished yet. We're gonna continue. We have to figure out exactly what the scenario is. What do we mean that the basket is tahor and the magrefa is tomei? And once we do that, then we'll see that you have not only that where you can have that within the same basket, you're being shomer some things and not others, but we'll see also that you have a possibility of being shomer from some things and not others, as we're gonna discuss. So the Gemara says, the question is, hasal tahor, what do you mean the basket remains tahor? If the magrefa becomes tameh, tatameh magrefa lasal. Shouldn't the magrefa itself be matameh the basket? If we're assuming that the magrefa became tameh, then it should be matameh the basket that it's touching, and in turn the basket will be matameh the food. And the answer is, ain kli matameh kli. One keli cannot be matameh another. A keli can be matame food, but it can't be matame the actual basket itself. Okay, v'latame masha basal, why don't we say that it's matame the food that's in the basket? And the answer is, that's exactly the point that we're talking about. Omer Ravina, v'oimer shmartiv midjava shematame v'loy midjava rapoisle. Precisely, we're talking about the case where the person says, even as far as the magrefa itself, I was careful to guard it that nothing that would be matame it is touched it, so no avatoma, below me davar apostle. I wasn't necessarily careful to make sure that something that would only make it postal, like Tosfos had said, for example, mashkin tmein, that those shouldn't touch it. I wasn't necessarily careful on that. So that magrefa now, we have to assume is postal. It's only postal though. It won't be matame, the food that it's touching. So therefore the food won't become tame. So yes, you see that it is possible for a person to be, you see that it is possible for a person to be shomer something from one level of tumah and not from another, and that has validity on pi halacha. So by the same token, then going back to what we said before about the case where a person was guarding a barrel of wine and it turns out to be oil or vice versa, we said that it's not matame, but it's also to eat. Same thing. We're talking about, he says, I was careful against things that would be metameid on a high level of tumah, but I wasn't careful about, for example, a tefil yom touching it, which would be a lower level of tumah. So we see that such a thing is valid. But the Gemara says, mikol makom kasha. Okay, but we're still left with the question of, that we said, actually, by the way, Rashi mentions also that, you can also have a case where, let's say, suppose there are figs stuck to the magrefa. So So then, when the magrefa becomes tamei, though when it becomes possible, that food will become possible as well. But nevertheless, it won't be matame other food. But we still have the problem. Why did it say tahoda milatame? Why did it say that it can't be matame anything else? And more generally, we have to figure out. We still have to answer the question. What we mean? We said before that we have these various cases where a person dropped his scarf. We have the case where a person mixed up his weekday and Shabbos clothes. Where two women mixed up their clothes. Why in those cases are they tummy? So the Gemara says, "V'oid moistiv Rav Baravua." Furthermore, Rav Baravua points out a contradiction based on the following brisa: Ma'isa be'isha achas shabos lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. A woman once came to Rabbi Shmuel with a shayla. Va'omer lo, she says to him, Rebbe, beged ze aragti v'tara. This piece of clothing that I'm showing you, I wove it, making sure that it was in a state of tara. But I wasn't making sure while I was weaving it to make sure that it should remain tahor. Which means, Rashi says like this. Before a piece of cloth, when it's smaller than 3 by 3 etzvos, is not makabel tumah yet. So therefore, so she's saying, when I started weaving this cloth, before it reached the point of 3 by 3 etzvos, I made sure that it didn't become tahor, so it didn't matter whether there was any tumor around it. It can't be makabel tumor yet anyway. Since it got to the point of 3 by 3, I made sure that no tumor touched it. But nevertheless, I didn't have in mind to make sure that it was tahor, to make sure that no tumor has actually touched it. I arrived to Batara, but I didn't have in mind to be shomer to make sure that it is. So Rabbi Shmuel started asking her a bunch of questions to find out exactly what happened over here while she was weaving it. She told him, Rebbe, nida moshcha imi bechevel. At one point while I was weaving it, a woman who was a nida pulled the rope with me. Now you have, and the looms were set up in those days. You had a heavy roller at each end, and you would often have the roller itself is very hard to turn, so you'd often have a rope attached to it. And the rope, so you're now a nida is one of the kinds of tmeim who, if they move something, even without touching it, it's called tumas heset, then they're metameh. So therefore, it comes out, this nida pulled on the rope, and she might have therefore actually moved the cloth, and therefore the cloth, in fact, might in fact be tumeh after it reached 3 by 3. So this woman, this woman who came to ask the shayla, didn't even chapsich that would be a problem. She knew, of course, that she can't have her friend, the nida, actually help with the weaving. Then she'd be touching it, and for sure she'd be tumeh. It didn't even occur to her that by pulling on the rope, she might be moving the cloth. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, kama gedolim divrei chachamim. So Rabbi Shmuel said, look how great are the words of the chachamim. Show your omen, believe the shomer tahor, ain't believe the shomer tahor. That they said that if the person has in mind to be shomer, then it remains tahor, and if not, then it's tahor. Because here you have, she thought that no tumah had touched the cloth, which it hadn't, but she didn't even realize that there was a problem with the other woman, the nida, pulling on the rope and possibly accidentally moving the cloth. And another example, shuv ma'isa be'isha achas shabos lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. Then there was another example of a woman who came with a shayla to Rabbi Shmuel. Amr lo Rebbe mapa zu aragtia batara. This mapa, which is like a tablecloth or something, I wove it batara. V'lo ha'i v'libi v'shomra. But again, I wasn't having in mind to guard it from any tumah, but I know that no tumah touched it. So Rabbi Shmuel started asking her a bunch of questions, and it turned out, Omer Eloi, she said, Rebbe, Nima Nifsikali, at one point while I was weaving, one of the threads broke before I had gotten to the point of 3 by 3 etzvos. So it wasn't yet Roy Latruma. Ukshartia Bapeh, and I tied it using my mouth. So in other words, what we mean is, let's say, for example, so she wet the ends of the thread with her saliva in order to get the ends of the thread, the broken ends, to hold together well, and then she could tie them together. So now the point is, Rashi says that she had been a nida at that point, so So therefore, she knew enough to know that her saliva is tummy. But she figured at that point the cloth wasn't yet 3x3, so therefore there's not a problem. However, the point is, we see that, no, maybe not. Maybe by the time, so fine, she did that, so now her saliva was metamor, would have been metamor the thread, but fine, it's not, because thread at that point is not metabol tumor yet. However, the saliva might have still been wet by the time she reaches 3x3 etzbos, and therefore now it makes the cloth tummy, because now you have saliva of a nidah on a piece of cloth, which is at least 3x3. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings an explanation from his Rebbeim that what happened is that in general, the Chachamim said, given that we said before that Amei Oretz are metameh, is suffic, so part of that is that the saliva of an Amei Oretz is metameh because we're concerned that he or she might be a Zav or a Zava or whatever. Again, as we said before, Tosfos talks about, for some purposes, we do consider the Amei Oretz to be Zavim themselves. Therefore, for example, we say that their saliva is metameh. We had all the way back, for example, in Masechta Shkalim, about a year or so ago, we had about you're walking down the street in your shalayim and you see saliva on the street. When do you have to assume that it's tomei, that might be from a zav, when not? So we said, for example, during the Yom Tovim, if you see any in the middle of the street, you can assume it's tahor, because again, since the Amei Oretz have a mitzvah to become tahor on the Yom Tovim, and since in fact most of them do, so therefore the tmeim stay to the sides of the street and the tahorim walk down the middle of the street. But anyway, the point is, so Rashi says a second possibility, that as Rebbeim say, we're talking about this woman was an Amei Oretz, and therefore the possibility is that her saliva is Tomei Midrabanan as the saliva of an Amei Oretz. Rashi says, come on, I mean, she's coming to ask a Shaila on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara to Rabbi Shmuel, obviously she's a Chavera. And anyway, plus also Rashi says, if she was an Amei Oretz, then even if she said Arag Tia Batara, Rabbi Shmuel would have told her, so what? I mean, very nice, you're telling me Arag Tia Batara. The fact is, you're an Amei Oretz. You don't know Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. How can we trust you? So therefore Rashi prefers his explanation that we're talking about this woman was a Chaver. Tosfos brings up another possibility, because after all, the fact is, she doesn't say to Rabbi Shmuel that I was a nigga. So rather, Tosfos brings a third possibility. She wasn't a nida, but again, she used her saliva to wet the ends of the string of the thread so she could tie them. Now, the problem is that then when she touches that part of the cloth with her hands, then again, like we said before, liquids are metamim midrabanan. They make a person's hands who touch them shnius. So now her hands are shnius l'truma, and now therefore, so now, and so, well, so actually, forget about her hands a second. So now what happens is that now the saliva in turn makes the cloth tamei, because like we said before, cloth that touches mashkim tmeim themselves become tamei. So that would be the possibility, in other words. So the saliva, she touched her, that's what it is. She may have touched the saliva with her hands. Her hands are shnius. Midrabanan, that makes the liquids mashkim. That makes the liquids tchila. That makes them a rishon. And then in turn, it's going to be metamei the cloth, as again. And so we have two dinim d'rabbanan over here, one that her hands are metamei the saliva, and one that then the saliva in turn is able to be metamei the cloth. All of that is d'rabbanan, but the point is, Tosfos says, that may be what happened. And so the bottom line is, we see that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, so the Braisa finishes off, Omer Rabbi Shmuel, Kama Gdolim Dibre Chachamim, how great, again, are the words of the Chachamim. You see that even though when the Chachamim say a din and you don't understand it, how could it be? How could it be? A person is saying, I guarded this from Tumah, why shouldn't we take him at his word? But we see, Shehoyo Omer Beliv L'Shem Retahar, Ein Beliv L'Shem Retahar, or no, rather when we say, the person says, no Tumah touched this. I didn't specifically guard it with that in mind, but I know that no Tumah touched it. To you, Rabbi Shmuel was saying, from these two examples, we see that you can have Tumah touching it without you even realizing it. So therefore, you actually have to be Shoyim. So now, let's relate that back to the three cases we had before. We had Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar saying that if a person dropped his scarf and asked somebody else to pick him up, we said the scarf is Tumah. The second case we had, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram said that if a person meant to put on his weekday clothes and instead he picked up his Shabbos clothes and put them on, then we say they're tamei. And the third case was Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik had said that there were two women who mixed up their clothes in the bathhouse, and Rabbi Akiva said both the clothes are tamei. Let's see how those dinim relate to what we just said. The Shlema of Elazar ben Tzaddik. I can understand Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik's case about the two women. Kol achas v'achas oimeres chaverti eshes ha'maretz. Because each one. Now remember, obviously, when they're getting dressed over there, they don't realize that the Leah doesn't realize that Rachel has her clothes and vice versa. Then she just go over to her and say, Rachel, you're putting on my dress. Give her let's switch back. Obviously, what happened was she puts on clothes, figuring it's hers. She realizes later it's not hers. She doesn't know who the other woman was. As far as she knows, the other woman who's wearing her clothes now is an Amoritz. It's an Eshes Amoritz. Umaschadai Taminas. So therefore, she has Heshkadat. She knows that the woman, the Amoritz, is not going to be able to be careful to keep it Batara. So she's Masiach Das. So fine, we can understand why, therefore, the clothes are troubled. And Rav Yonasan ben Amram Nami, we understand why Rav Yonasan ben Amram and his scenario of mixing up weekday and Shabbos clothes, what's the problem? Kiven to Kalim the Shabbos of the Lahosh Shimur Tvei, because a person normally watches his Shabbos clothes more than his weekday clothes. Here he thought these were weekday clothes, because it's a weekday and he was intending to get dressed. And he picked up his Shabbos clothes. The other way around, it's on Shabbos. He intended to pick up his Shabbos clothes, and instead he picked up his weekday clothes. So therefore, so now he doesn't have the same level of Shemitah. So, Dekevim the Shabbos, Ovid Lo Shimur Tvei, a person normally watches his Shabbos clothes more carefully. Therefore, Matzach Daitin Inayu. So in this case over here, where he thought that he was his weekday, that it was his weekday clothing, then he doesn't have the same level of Shemitah on them as he does on his Shabbos clothing. The Tosafos Reed actually has an interesting take on it. He says, that when a person intended to put on his weekday clothes and instead he picked up his Shabbos clothes, he puts them on, so he now feels upset that he grabbed the wrong thing. So therefore, actually, he seems to learn it the other way around, that we're talking about that he meant to put on his Shabbos clothes and put on his weekday clothes, so therefore, like, he's upset that he put on the wrong thing, therefore he has Hesach Hadas. Anyway, the point is, so that we can also understand. El a little Yonasan ben Elazar, but the question is on the first case where his scarf fell off and he asked somebody else to pick him up. What's the problem? Never lo shimu biyodi dechavre. Why can't we say that he's guarding it while the other person is holding it? The other person is just holding it for a moment to give it to him. So meanwhile, he's having in mind, he's not having hesach hadas. So he knows the other guy is a chaver. Fine, like we said earlier, Rashi says that, the other person himself who picks him up figures, since you didn't ask ahead of time whether I'm Tahor or Tameh, so therefore you don't know whether I'm Tameh, therefore I'm not careful to make sure that it doesn't touch anything of Tumah. But the person who dropped it himself, he's watching it the whole time, so why shouldn't that work? Why should we automatically say that it's Tameh? And the answer is, because we have a chazaka, exactly that. A person does not watch as carefully something that's in somebody else's hand. The fact that it's in somebody else's hands, he doesn't have the same level of guarding, of protecting it from tumah, as he would if he was holding it in his own hand. So therefore, unless he tells the person, when you're picking it up, make sure that you're keeping it from becoming tumah, then there's going to be a problem. So the Gemara asks, Veloy, you're telling me not? I'll give you an example where that does work. Valtanya. Suppose a person has donkey drivers or other kind of workers who are carrying taras. So he himself is a chaver. He has food or barrels of food or whatever of truma or what have you that have to stay to her. The chamorim upoilim themselves are amei aretz. So now the question is, do we have to be concerned that they were metameh? Now, let's say, for example, we're not worried, for example, about if they touch the outside of the barrels. This goes back to what we were saying before. Tosfa says, we don't assume that the ameh oretz themselves are zavim. If we did that, then them moving the barrels all by itself would be enough to be metameh them. That's too much hesed. However, we're not going to do that. The Chachamim weren't going to impose that level of that. The Chachamim weren't going to impose that level of chumrah, because then you're not going to be able to find workers at all to move your barrels. So that's not the problem. The problem is they might open up the barrels and touch the wine inside. They might want to take a sample of it. They might want to give it a sniff, whatever. So the Braisa says, even though he's more than a mil away from them, more than a Tchum Shabbos away from them, nevertheless, the Taras remain Tahor. Since he didn't tell them that he's going to be far away from them, so therefore there's a concept in halacha called Mirsas, meaning that they're afraid. They're afraid to open up the barrels and do anything with them because he might show up all of a sudden and call them out on it. This is, by the way, we have a similar kind of thing when it comes to Ashgacha for Kashrus nowadays. We're not able to be careful with Tumah V'Tahara nowadays, well, Tumah anyway, but this din is also Negea, for example, as far as Kashrus. You have many times in stores and restaurants and factories and whatnot, you don't always have a Mashgiach Tzmidi there all the time when the place is open. Many times you just have Yotzev and Nichnas, the Mashgiach is in and out at various times during the day, but as long as those times are random, then we say Mirsas, the Goyim will be afraid, the Goyim or the not yet from Jews or whoever who are there, are gonna, for that matter, the owner himself, but whatever, are going to be afraid to do anything funny because all of a sudden the Mashgiach might show up and find out what they're doing. So even though he's more than a meal away, Taharosik Taharis, the Taharis still remain Tahar. The Im Omalahem Lachuv Ani Ovayacharechem, but if he tells them, you go on ahead, I'm following you from behind, then even if he's much closer, than a meal. Kivinchin is almu ain't of mehen. As soon as they're out of his eyesight, taros tifmeis, then they're tomei because they might. They're going to think to themselves, "Well, he said he's going to be following us later. Therefore, we have time." So therefore, and again, you have the same thing with kashrus. If they know that the mashgiach every day is going to walk in there at 1 o'clock, so then before and after 1 o'clock, they'll be free. They'll feel free to do whatever they want. So now the point is that in the Reisha of the Braisa, we're saying that even though the Taras are in somebody else's hands, he's not there. He's having the Amei Ha'aretz load and unload and transport the barrels. Nevertheless, they remain tar. So you see that there is Meshamer Masha B'Yad Chavera, that a person can be guarding something even though it's in somebody else's hands. But first, we have to ask, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? What is the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Now, Rashi says, what do you mean, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? We said, in the Reisha, he's not telling them that he's far away, in the Seifa, he is. So Rashi doesn't want to be Gerdus that. Rashi says, maybe, okay, maybe we could be Gerdus it. What it means is, if you're going to say, ain't not a Meshama Masha B'Yad Chaveroi, then what's the difference, whether he's there or not? Either way, it's B'Yad Chaveroi. Tosfos discusses that actually, maybe this Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer, can be the beginning of the answer. The question would be from the Braisa, and the answer would be, well, you have to consider for yourself, after all, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? And Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Napka, Reisha, the Metaher Chamor of a Poel of Lekach. Because the Reisha is talking about that he actually was Metaher, these donkey drivers and these workers, for this purpose. He actually had them go to the Mikveh. And when we say Einan Meshama Mashi B'Yad Chaveroi, we mean where he was walking down the street, he dropped his scarf, he turns to a random stranger and tells him, pick it up, please. He wasn't the tire of the person for that purpose. So therefore, we have to be concerned. So now he's not being Meshamer to the same extent as he would when it was in his own hands. But here, specifically, before he ever has these people transport his barrels of wine, he has them go to the mikveh. So now, even if they touch it, there's no problem. So because even if they touch it, they themselves are tahor. So yes, in that case, you could have that a person, that shmira does work when it's in somebody else's hands. Then the question is, ihochi sefer nami. Well, then in that case, the same thing should apply to the sefer. What's the difference whether he tells them that he's coming later or not? Either way, they're tahor. And therefore, what's the problem? And the answer is, fine, they themselves are tahor at this point, but the problem is, the Amaretz is not going to be careful that his friend won't touch it. So like, you're going to have his friend, another Amaretz, who's not part of the caravan over here. So he's going to tell him, come over here, you see this wine I'm transporting, you want to take a sniff. And he opens up the barrel, and the other guy ends up touching the wine. The other guy, he wasn't the tahor for this purpose. So now you have the concern. So again, when the boss is nearby or when the workers think that the boss is nearby, then there's no problem because then they're going to think to themselves, I can't do that. Any second, I know our boss is a chaver and he's trying to keep this stuff to her. And therefore, if I open up the barrel, if he sees me opening up the barrels and inviting over my friend to take a sniff, then he's going to be angry with me. So therefore, he won't do it. But in the safer, where he tells them, I'm far away, I'm coming later, then the guy is going to feel free to do that. Well, the question is then, Ihochi Reisha Nami. So how does that help in the Reisha? You could still have, fine, even though in the Reisha he doesn't, they don't know how far away he is, still, they could conceivably open it up real quick and give the other guy, and give the other guy a sniff. And the answer is, the Volahem Derech Akolosim. We're talking about where he can come to them on a side road. So in other words, we're talking about even though, so we said he's a mil away, but, and the point is that even though he's far away, he could, if he were to go on the direct road, then it would take him a while to get there. But let's say, for example, he could conceivably come on a side road, so therefore there's this nirsas, they're afraid of trying to do anything because they know that he might find them out all of a sudden. Well, then that brings back the question, Ihochi Sefer Nami. So in the Sefer also, why doesn't that work? And the answer is, Kivin to Omalu, L'chuvan, Ovei Acharechem, because he tells them, you go ahead, I'm coming after you, Mismach, Samcha Datayu, they have a certain smichus das, they have a certain confidence that he's not coming all of a sudden, because he told them he's coming only later, and therefore they might feel free to open it up. Now, Tosfos learns that, so in other words, what we have is like this. Tosfos learns it has to be that he was metaher then. Only then would this work in the first place. If he wasn't metaher then it's never going to work because ein on meshamah mashu b'yad chaveru. If he was metaher then, and additionally, he's able to be coming derech hakolosin by a side road, then nevertheless, then that's good enough. Now you have both. They're tahor, so therefore he can be guarding it while it's in their hands. And he could come derech akolosa, and so therefore they're mirsas, they're afraid to do anything. So that would be good enough, and therefore it remains tahor. But if he wasn't metaher them at all, then it doesn't work at all. And if he can't come derech akolosa, then it wouldn't work either. And if he told them mechuvani over acharechem, even the fact that he can come derech akolosa is not going to work. Tosfos also, by the way, talks about, now, first of all, the Rambam seems to learn differently. The Rambam mentions only that he was, only the fact that he comes derech akolosan, so the Rambam seems to have had a different gusa over here in the Gemara, that Ella, the Volahem derech akolosan, that rather, which Ella, when the Gemara says Ella, it's changing its mind from what we said before, that we're talking about he can come derech akolosan, that's good enough, even though he wasn't metaher then. Because the fact that he can come derech hakolosin, again, we're not talking about that we're worried about that they're them transporting the barrels. We're only worried about them opening them up. Well, since he could come any second derech hakolosin, therefore they're going to be afraid to open up the barrels for themselves or anybody else to taste it or sniff it or whatever. Tosfos also discusses how this relates to the dinim of Yain Nesach. You have a similar thing when you have goyim transporting wine for you. You have similar dinim over there that you have to make sure that they didn't make it. Yain Nesach. So there, Tosfos says that there would be enough derech hakolosa, and obviously you can't be metaher the goyim, and there they know the difference is, Tosfos says, in this case over here, the Amoritz is going to think, okay, so I touch it, big deal, I'm a yid after all, what's the problem? They don't realize the concept of the dinim of tumah v'tahara, so they don't realize that they were going to be metaher it. As opposed to the goy knows that you're makid, that you don't want him touching your wine, or it's becoming yayin nesach, so therefore he'll be careful. So therefore, as long as there's some degree of nirsas, which is accomplished by bolahem derech hakolosin, where he could come all of a sudden, any moment, then there's enough that it's nirsas, and therefore they're going to be afraid to do anything. Okay. Hadron aloch ein goshen.
Yeah. Shikayach. Yeah.